between 85 and 88. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 58 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium, if it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
And good morning and welcome into a Monday. Thank you, Chase, for that. Welcome in the Monday edition of Inside the Locker Room. 205-342-9904 is the phone number if you'd like to jump in with us this morning. A little different outcome in the game. So I know they're not comfortable yet, but the Alabama fan probably feels a little bit better. If you don't, then you're just looking for negative stuff. I know the opponent wasn't the greatest, but it's still a good performance by Alabama on Saturday night. We want you to download the app, the Tide 100.9 app. You can put it on your smartphone. You could take us with you anywhere you go. You want to email us, do that to wimpandberry@yahoo.com. Now we got all that out of the way. We want to thank Yellowwood Pressure Treated Pine from Great Southern. You want to build the five-star backyard, then Yellowwood is your only choice. Go to yellowwood.com to find a dealer that is closest to you. Chase, Mississippi State, baby. Mississippi State, what a win for the Bulldogs. Looked like they were going to lose and make the long pass right there at the end. But, you know, the thing about the SEC this year, we always brag on the SEC, but your teams that have kind of been down towards the bottom of the league are doing so well. Vanderbilt goes on the road and shellacks Virginia Tech. Mississippi State knocks off number 12, Arizona State. Huge. Oklahoma knocks off Michigan. So the teams that were kind of at the bottom, Auburn is 2-0 with a great win at Baylor. So the teams, Dad, that were at the bottom are now playing really good football. So this league is very deep this year. Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing okay. You're right. Can you hear me okay? not great, I guess, but I'll get better as I go through. I'm not very far. I think the Alabama game, don't be calling in here telling me how bad the other team was. What you look for in the Alabama game, those are the hardest games to play of all the games that you play because your kids think it's going to be an easy game. So I give Alabama a lot of credit for bouncing back, for being ready to play, to make a difference about the opponent. From a coaching standpoint, none of you listen to the show of coach. From a coaching standpoint, it's more difficult to get ready for a team like this than it is sometimes, much so with any other team that you play. So I thought they played hard. I thought they played, except for penalties, pretty well. And quarterback was what we thought he was. And I thought when you play with enthusiasm like that, so forth, I think it'll make a big difference against Wisconsin.
Yeah, you know, they showed up ready. One thing, but if you weren't ready in this game after what happened at Florida State, then I don't think you had to worry about them overlooking Monroe because of what happened in Tallahassee. Now, if they would have showed up this weekend and not played, then there'd have been a lot of questions about. So I don't think the worry was there as much. Probably maybe it was for the coaches, I think those guys had something to prove out there. They can't help the opponent, but it didn't matter who was going to be out there Saturday. These guys are going to be ready to go.
I think the worry was there. I think there's worry there about the way they're going to pick up their play, even though they, I know, the last game, everybody's criticizing them. I still want to be darn sure they're ready to play. They know they.
We find out that, to me, the schedule is so key. I think that's why you play somebody you can beat first. You play somebody like Monroe first, Chase, and you get your quarterback that hadn't played or have never started. You give him a little confidence. You think he's confident now. I think all those quarterbacks are. And so I thought that was a good thing. All right, let's get to the Yellowwood hotline, and we'll bring Pat into the show. We've lost Dad there for a second. We'll get him back. Good morning, Pat.
Yeah, I hope we can get your daddy back on while I'm on with you. But, man, hey, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say we should have an opponent that was a little more up to the task. But the Alabama fan base is pathetic. Pathetic. That is the bad. The good I saw was what Ty was able to go through progressions, 17 of 17, that looked awesome. AK, there is nothing out there that runs like a deer. There's a reason that we took AK Deer over Alvin Henderson, the number one running back in the state of Alabama, and all of the records that he broke. There's a reason we took AK Deer. Wow. That was speed personified. That when he, of course, they blocked that play really, really well. And you got to understand, these was not the number one tackles and the number one guards. This was backups, and they blocked it amazingly. And AK Deer took advantage of it, and there was no catching a deer. That just none. But you're going to say that, well, we should have had people, we should have been playing a team that was up to standards. I know you're going to say
that. Me? No. I'm saying, I think the where the schedule lays out, they'd have been better off playing Monroe the first week with a quarterback like that to get just get those guys some confidence. You know, their confidence now, you didn't know. That was my point. No, I'm not saying they shouldn't play losing Monroe. I think they should. I think they should play on week one, Pat. Not play them.
Well, your schedule is what your schedule is. And there was no tape on Florida State. And nobody had any idea how that Florida State group was going to gel together. They laid 77 points on whoever they played Saturday. It's just, this is the way college football is now, that there's so much parity. And just like y'all mentioned earlier about the Oklahomas of the world going in there and beating Michigan, most people didn't think that was going to happen. That Oklahoma was favored for whatever reason by the bookies. But to see Ole Miss come back, that was actually not a bad game, Ole Miss and Kentucky. But to see Mississippi State beat a team that they wasn't supposed to beat, that's making the SEC look a whole lot better. What do you think?
Oh, I think the crowd was great. I think Mississippi State needed a shot in the arm for their program. I picked them not to win a conference game, so I hope I'm wrong. It looks like I am going to be wrong because it was a great win for them, and the fans were awesome. I thought you couldn't have noisemakers in the stadiums. Well, somehow they get those cowbells in there, don't they, Pat? Those cowbells were ringing, baby.
Hey, they sell cowbells outside the stadium, Barry. It's unreal to go over there. I got a good friend of mine, Mr. Harry Simmons. He advertises inside the stadium with catfish. He's got the finest catfish available. Other than Paul Bryant Jr., Alabama catfish are so much better than Mississippi catfish overall. But if you're going to get some catfish, you got to get them from Mississippi. You get them from them because they get good flavor testers. Alabama, you don't have to have flavor testers in Alabama. Our ponds are deeper. Our ponds change, are staggered, and they go from pond to pond to pond. The water changes, and we just got better tasting catfishes, you know, kind of like starfish, you know. And, but anyway, hey, let's, that's just unbelievable what this, what all of these wide receivers, everybody looked fantastic. Yeah, you got to catch, but the quarterback's got them the ball. And hey, and man, that Russell actually throws a beautiful pass. They all look good. I'm glad we finally got a chance to see them in person. And I stayed all the way to the final bell. But that people that got up and walked out at halftime, they missed a show in the second half. They missed a show. And I feel sorry for them. But that, those were sidewalk alumni. Those were not true Alabama fans. They were Alabama fans that they saw an opportunity to buy a ticket for $10 or $20 and don't deserve to come back to a
game. Probably the people leaving, the people that paid the big bucks. They're trying to get out of there and get back to Birmingham. So, anyway, thank you, Pat.
Bless their heart.
Thank you, sir.
Bless their heart.
Thank you, Pat.
Right, bye-bye.
All right, we'll take the break here. We'll try to get Dad back. We got Philip Holden. We'll get to all that when we get back from break. Two, and the Blue Plate Special, Chase, the Blue Plate Special is broken. Vanderbilt took it to Virginia Tech in that second half. We'll discuss that as well. Two-minute truck at 1330 Martin Road East. That's where you go pick up your boxes, your packing supplies, whatever you need to make this a smooth move. It's local, out of town, out of state, no problem. Let the professionals handle it. They'll take great care of you and your stuff. 205-247-5050. 2 men in a truck. Movers who care.
Trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Monday morning. A growing number of county commissions across the state are opposing Tuscaloosa's lawsuit against the state of Alabama over the way online sales taxes are distributed. Walker County Commission has joined that growing list. Commissioners there point out that the city's already received the larger portion of that sales tax distribution. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather throughout the day. It's absolutely free. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Of course, we always have road construction in the area. And that is so on 2059 on the westbound lanes, just west of Joe Malisham. But you do not have delays. On McFarland, you're looking good. Only brief stoplights logos in between.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A good supply of sunshine today with a warm afternoon, the high 84. Clear tonight, the low 64. The weather stays dry tomorrow and Wednesday. The sky's sunny both days. Highs in the mid to upper 80s between 85 and 88. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 58 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9. For more coverage of Alabama football, visit us at Tide100.9.com or download the free Tide 100.9 app.
The Crimson Tide will not be denied.
Pressure treated pine from Great Southern Wood. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, then you certainly don't want it. All right, get to the Yellowwood hotline. What's up, Philip?
Hey, Phil. Good morning, my friends. Hope you're doing good today.
All right. How are you, buddy? Okay.
Doing good. Hey, I think the Tide has found a starter tailback for sure, and I think Alabama has an emerging number two at tailback. I know he got his first action the other night, but I thought A.K. Deere acquitted himself really well when he had the opportunity, and and took one to the house, which is always a good sign, and got to showcase his speed there. I thought Caleb Edwards, another freshman, looked really good at tight end. He caught a beautiful pass late in the game for his first touchdown of the year. But I'll tell you, I was particularly happy to see William Sanders, Jackson Lloyd, and the Carroll kid come in and play on the offensive line. I thought that was very important for the depth. It gives the coaches something to build on and creates confidence for those guys. And Sanders even lined up sort of as a tight end and went in motion and didn't screw it up. You know, he didn't have a false start or anything. He carried out his assignment, and I thought that was a really good sign right there.
Yeah, I thought all those kids played well. I think it's an opportunity to get them in the game. A.K. Deer, obviously, with the long run, showed his speed, 56-yarder. And I like the fact on Sunday that he told Mac he was going to play in the second quarter. I think that kind of gives that kid a different mindset going into the game. His preparation during the week is different when he knows he's going to play. I hope they continue to do that, Phillip. Let these guys know they're going, hey, we're going to put you in there for a series, and it may be more, maybe, but you're at least going to play. I think it helps their preparation.
Oh, no doubt about it. You want to go, you want to be prepared. You don't want to go out there and flop around. You want to be ready, and I think that helps you mentally get to that point. But I'll tell you, Barry, Mississippi State, that Tennessee game, when they go to Starkville in 3 weeks, that's going to be something. Mississippi State and Tennessee, that's going to be a raucous environment.
Well, it'll be only based on Mississippi State's pass defense.
Yeah. How do you guys feel about the Tennessee-Georgia game? I just wasn't that impressed with Georgia. They sort of slopped around and muddled through against Austin Hill. I think this Georgia-Tennessee game could be a 45-38 type affair.
Yep.
Well, I think Georgia's a little bit of a question mark. Either I don't know where what happened there. I didn't see it, but I think Tennessee is good on both sides of the football. The quarterback for Tennessee, the reason I picked them, I made a terrible mistake this week with Vanderbilt. But the reason I picked the Tennessee thing last time was that I think his quarterback has got great ability. And he's playing pretty darn good. I think you have a great chance to beat Georgia.
You know, I wouldn't. I think what Dad said about Alabama, I think that's what you saw with Georgia. They're kind of flat. But I think their schedule lines up. They had two patsies, and now they're playing a big SEC game. So I think you'll see them at their peak. You'll see what they are. I wouldn't judge them by what you saw the last two games. Now, whether it's good enough to beat Tennessee, I don't know. But I wasn't a big fan of Hunter Stockton last year, even in the games that he played. He's okay. I think the three quarterbacks of Alabama are better than him, to be quite honest with you. So, but I wouldn't judge him based on what you saw the first 2 weeks in those games. I would wait and see. Because now it's real, and I think they've got these guys a little bit of confidence, and it's kind of the way you probably should do it. Get you a couple patsies in there, beat them up, and then when the heart of your schedule comes, you start getting ready to play.
Right, right. Well, look, good talk to you guys. It's going to be an interesting week, and we'll see what happens as the week unfolds.
Yep. Thank you, Phillip.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, the blue plate, I was headed back. I was watching it on my phone. Oh, and,
joke.
Vanderbilt, that guy does a good job. They run a solid program.
Yeah, he does. But they went against no effort. He had no schemes. The man at Vanderbilt got the football the first time. I told who I was with. I said, "This game's over." I said, "These guys not ready to play. Their schemes were not good. The effort was not good. They've got to keep the football in order to score." But didn't detect us. They got 4th and inches on the 50-yard line, and they kick it. I told us they need to call Lane Kiffin and punt it. Vanderbilt takes it. It was probably, as I text to you, the worst blue plate I ever picked in my life. I thought they were going to play hard. I thought they were talented. I was dead wrong.
Yeah, but give Vanderbilt some credit there. Being a Pavia is tough.
Yeah.
They run a pretty difficult offense to defend. There'll be a thorn in some people's side this year.
Yeah, they will.
Now, people that are just poo-pooing Wisconsin, Chase, back that up now. Wisconsin, I know they're a little bit slow. I know Alabama went over there and beat them bad last year, but I don't, you know, I would be a little careful about this game. They're 2-0. They beat Miami of Ohio 17-0. Then they beat Middle Tennessee, which is always a solid program, 42-10. They threw the football pretty well. Their quarterback threw three touchdown passes against Middle Tennessee. 11 o'clock game, that's a little bit different for Alabama. They're not used to playing games that early. So I don't think this game's going to be quite as easy maybe as people think. I don't hear people acting like Wisconsin has any chance, like the next chance Alabama's got to lose is Georgia. I don't see that. They better show up ready to play this weekend.
Well, I think the enthusiasm that they had, if it carries over, and I think it will, I think the crowd will help that some. I think Alabama, I'm not sure exactly how well the quarterback is at Wisconsin. He got banged up pretty badly in one stretch. So I think Alabama has a great chance to continue. They're a good name, and they generally have a good, as you mentioned, a good hard-nosed team, but should be a good test for Alabama. But I think the game mentally against a no-name team, but I think it was good for Alabama to play that way mentally, and hopefully that'll carry over.
Yeah, Danny O'Neill is your quarterback. He was 23 for 27, 289 yards, and three touchdowns. Did throw one pick against Middle Tennessee. But pretty good showing there throwing the football. All right, we'll take the break here. We'll get back. We'll get Coach Max Howell in. We'll find out his thoughts about football over the weekend. We also peek ahead. Better schedule coming up this weekend as well. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Of course, we always have road construction in the area, and that is so on 2059 on the westbound lanes, just west of Joe Malisham, but you do not have delays. On McFarland, you're looking good. Only brief stoplights logos in between.
That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
To Inside the Locker. You want to build a five-star backyard, then Yellowwood is your only choice. Go to yellowwood.com to find the dealer closest to you. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. All right, we get to the Yellowwood hotline. It's Monday. Former football coach, Florida State Ole Miss radio personality throughout the South, joins us every Monday, Coach Max Howell. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Hey, Max. Good morning.
Hey, hi, guys. A little bit better attitude in Tuscaloosa today, I would figure.
Yeah, you know, you did what you were supposed to do. There's a quote out there, and I'm trying to ask Chase to find it, if Caden Proctor actually said that, but he said about the win against Louisiana Monroe, it felt good to silence some of the noise from the 40 to 50-year-old dudes who are sitting on their couch and criticizing the Alabama fans. No, Caden, that was 10-year-olds, 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 40, 50, 60, 70. They did criticize your performance against Florida State, which you earned, but they will also praise you when you play well. They did what they were supposed to do, right, Max? They looked sharp doing it.
Agreed.
Yeah.
They really did. And of course, I know everybody understands that, but you got to measure your competition. And I think that was a little, you know, I don't think they had a lot to measure against Florida State, but I don't know how many people checked the score from Florida State this weekend, but I believe they put up about 77 on their opponent as well. So they're a pretty good football team that they changed overnight, with, you know, with the new rules and all. But I was glad to see the substitution, you know, come through. I know he's looking forward to understanding that the competition this past weekend wasn't as good as it's going to be down the road. And you got to get some of those guys, those young guys, some playing time.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that all the complaints will kind of settle down now. Let's get ready for a real good football season.
Yeah. That.
Can you tell how good Tennessee is right now? I'm trying to figure out who the best team in the league is.
Right.
I'm not sure. It might be Tennessee on both sides of the ball. I'm not sure.
Yeah, they're close, Coach. And I think that was probably part of Georgia's problem. I think Georgia's looking forward to playing Tennessee next week.
Yeah.
One reason they didn't perform very well this past weekend. And people didn't realize that coaches do that. They've done that too many times, looking ahead, particularly if you evaluate who you're playing, you look at the personnel. You don't plan to get beat, but you just plan to win the football game. That gives you a couple of weeks in preparation for really a really good team. And I think Tennessee's put that together. I think it's a surprise to a lot of people, particularly all the controversy they had about the quarterback situation coming into the season.
It'll play out, Max. We're talking with Max Howell. We'll see how deep the SEC is. Right now, after two games, when you got Vanderbilt going on the road and just absolutely destroying a team in the second half, Mississippi State, I was happy for Mississippi State. Great win at home. And obviously, LSU went on the road and won at Clemson. Auburn seems to be a much better football team. The Oklahoma, when they went out and got them a confident quarterback. So it seems like all these teams are very serious about winning. They go out and get them what they got to get in order to be successful.
Well, I think that's the sign of the times that they can do that now. I mean, you know, used to you had to play with what you had. You had to improve them from within. Now you just go find one that can step in and play. And I think the biggest surprise I looked across the weekend, you hit it right over the head, I think was Oklahoma. I think they've become a real power, particularly looking down the road with this schedule. I think they're going to do quite well.
You know, I think the teams, the SEC teams, the Power Four teams, I think where this portal and NIL is hurting is the Monroes, and those teams are getting destroyed now because all their good players are transferring up. There's such a gap now between that bottom and the power teams now. So maybe that's the way it should be, Max.
Yeah, I think what we're going to get, and I think it's been predicted for the last 20 years that there was going to be an emergence of, a power league, whether they pull out the NCAA or they change the rules or whatever. But I think we certainly hit it in that position. I think even teams like Tulane and Troy played Clemson pretty good, but Clemson's situation, they look at that. They got Georgia Tech this week, so they weren't giving Troy much of a hope. But the Troys and the Tulanes of the world, Louisiana Monroe, those guys, when there's a good player, I mean, Troy lost three of their starters to the SEC teams this past year because of the portal. And that's what they'll do. They'll look to those levels like basically the proving grounds of kids rather than taking them out of high school anymore. The largest group of people that's been affected are the high school players coming out.
Yeah.
So the super players, the five stars, the really good ones, they're going to get the scholarships. But, man, you're not going to get a question mark down the road to come into a major program right now because they can go find some kid that was a freshman somewhere else that started, got some experience and got another year in the weight room and a year more maturity that can fill in for the program. And we've seen it every Saturday now.
Yeah, doubt.
Talk a little bit about Texas.
I'm interested in knowing what you think about their opportunities to finish the top three. Are they going to be good game, bad game? What about Texas?
Well, you know, I think Manning, they put a lot of emphasis on him on the quarterback situation for a lot of different reasons. We all know that. But the fact is, that I think they will improve. They look better. But again, you know, they open up against the number one team in the country. And I think that particular game, I think Texas got out-coached more than anything else. I think the
Courage
at Ohio State, you know, were just better prepared. I think for some reason, let all that hype get to him, or to the play, to the, you know, to the quarterback situation or whatever. Because that team looked a little bit better this week than it did last week. Because you got to measure by the opponent. We know that. But Texas is going to be there. I think they're going to be a team that really goes from evaluation week to week. It's just, you know, to see what kind of preparation they do. I think they got some good players, but I think they lost some outstanding players as well. And I think that Coach Sarkisian and his staff, they try to get that mix together. And I'm sure that, you know, by midseason, I think we'll see a different Texas team on the field.
Max peered ahead to this weekend. I always look at the lines, as Vegas knows. Alabama's a 20.5-point favorite against Wisconsin. This game's on ABC. I thought it was Fox. ABC, 11 o'clock. Tell me, do you know much about Wisconsin? I know Alabama played them last year. Their quarterback got hurt early in that game, and then that kind of they were done after that. They beat Middle 42-14 over the weekend. They beat Miami of Ohio. They shut those guys out. What can the Alabama fan expect with Wisconsin coming in Saturday morning?
Well, it'll be better than the one they just played this past Saturday. I can promise you that. I don't think they'll be as good as Florida State. Florida State's got a good football team. We'll get back to that in a minute. But Wisconsin right now, they're kind of a middle of the pack. And guys, it's going to be how Alabama prepares. What do they take away from this past week? Even though the competition wasn't as good as it has been or will be. But the fact is that you've got to coach those kids every day. You know, and prepare, and all you can prepare for is what kind of tapes you can see on them. And I like Alabama's chances that they have a line to, 20?
20.5, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. But, you know, if he goes to substituting a lot, which is not a bad thing, coming away with the win, the coaches themselves, other than just, you know, satisfying those fans that really like to wager on the games. Other than that, the line doesn't matter. Just win the football game. But I think that they learned the lesson. I think in the mixture as far as substitution patterns, and they had a chance there to see them against a really good team in Florida State and see Alabama's offensive defensive front against a team like Louisiana Monroe. So I think somewhere in the middle is what we're gonna get this coming week with Wisconsin.
Yeah, that.
Any thoughts on Auburn for our listeners?
Well, yeah, you know, Auburn right now, Coach, to me, Auburn's going they got the same – they look the same to me. I said last week the one reason they beat Baylor, I mean, they had better material than Baylor did, but the Baylor did an awful job in preparation for Auburn's offense. They didn't put a spy on the quarterback. If they'd have stopped Donald from getting his 100-plus yards, I'm not real sure Auburn won that ball game. And somebody else is going to figure that out down the road. But they, you know, I think they're a lot better football team. I think they're better coached. I think they got better talent. How many they can win, I don't know. I mean, they ought to win 6 or 7, maybe 8, but they got to take it 1 week at a time. The conference, by the number of teams that's got, you know, showing up in the top 45 right now, I think it's 11 this week, the most it's ever been in the history of the polls, shows you that the league has gotten better. And I think Auburn's going to be, they're going to be evaluated, you know, no doubt about that, week by week. I'm hoping they can stabilize that coaching staff and get Auburn back on the consistent road. They've had some ups and downs over the last 3 years, particularly with the coaching staff.
Ole Miss, it's kind of a weird schedule. They're going to play another conference game this weekend. Hey, they went to Kentucky. You just got to go to Kentucky and get out of there with a win. They did it. Max, well, they're at home against Arkansas. It's 6 o'clock on Saturday night. Talk a little bit about Ole Miss and where they are right now.
Well, here's the first thing I thought. Kentucky's a better football team than I thought they were.
Yeah.
And I think Lane Kiffin found that out as well. But the fact is, they did get out of there with a win. And I think they'll come back at home. And of course, the quarterback situation at Arkansas is probably the best position they've got. And I like Petrino. I like Petrino's offensive mind. I think he's going to, you know, spread them out and throw it around and check the defensive side of the ball for Ole Miss. But I like their home field, and I think they'll have somewhat of a home field advantage. I have Arkansas scored a bunch of points this past weekend, too, and that was a little surprise. Surprising they would like they did. But, you know, Arkansas State, we know them. They are good, what we used to call wood double-A teams. They've been very competitive at that level. But Arkansas handled them without a doubt. I don't think we caught Arkansas looking ahead to Ole Miss this past week because I knew that was a big game in their state. But the fact is I like Ole Miss's shot. I like what Kiffin does. And I think he's got it together. And I don't look for them. I know all the rumors, they're going to swarm every week when there's somebody that loses, that his name's going to pop up on somebody's list. Probably plop up on Florida's list next. So, anyway, I like Ole Miss coming up this weekend. And I was proud of Mississippi State as well. I watched that ball game. I thought they played extremely well against a team that they could have, they could easily have lost to. But they still had got enough talent yet, but it's going to take maybe another year or two to get enough talent to be competitive, I think.
Why would Florida play South Florida? But why would you do that? That is a no-win situation there. South Florida right. can get players that transfer. They can get guys that come down there and want to live in Tampa. Right. Why would you schedule them if you're Florida? I think that's stupid.
Well, I think they thought it was an automatic win in preparation for that tough schedule they really got. I mean, you looked at that schedule from here out. I mean, they got a uphill battle every week. So I think that was one of the reasons they misjudged, you know, the competition level. I think that's one. And of course, the University of Florida is pretty well the school in the state of Florida. But then, I mean, the student number, for example, the size of South Florida, they got about 40,000-50,000 students on campus.
Yeah, you don't do that.
You know, and so that's just a draw. Let's put it that way. To hopefully get a win. And prepare, I think, what they're doing was trying to prepare for their tough schedule down the road, and it backfired on them.
Yeah, no doubt. Dap?
I can't think of anything else. Did you cook it all this week?
No, it was kind of a slow weekend for us. It was opening dove season over here, and these guys over here were in the fields hunting, and they came in and got a short lunch, and they went right back. So I didn't get. I'll probably have something coming up this weekend. They'll contact me usually about Wednesday morning to start talking about it. But I'll have some menus out probably from here on. I got a really good bunch this year. They added two or three new guys, and so it's always a treat for me just to be around those guys to get a little bit different perspective. Most of them aren't even really college football fans. I mean, these are outdoor guys, fishermen, hunters, and that kind of stuff. So you get a different perspective. But more of the wives like the football than it is the guys in this group I'm cooking for this year.
Max, before you go, and I don't know how I would handle this. I think this portal, Alabama's got three really good quarterbacks.
Yep.
And they're stacked in class. I think Ty Simpson's a redshirt junior, so he could come back. He got Mac has been here a year, and he got this hot shot Russell that comes in. I mean, it game looks right. easy to him. Now, he's playing the backups against Louisiana Monroe. But when these guys can leave, and I'm not trying to make this a negative thing. I don't know how you handle the quarterbacks because, you know, Simpson could come back after this year, which is fine. But there's no way to hold on to all three of these guys. And they told Austin Mack, we're going to play you a series in the second quarter. And I don't think they even told Russell, we're going to get you in the game. And I think that helps in the preparation and all that. What do you do when you got three guys? I wouldn't want to lose any of these guys, but I don't know what you do. You could hold on to all three of these if Simpson were to come back.
Well, I think he did what he had to do.
Yeah.
I think that's the first step, is give him some playing time. See, I mean, you remember, guys, there's a philosophy with coaches that follow the NFL. Once you get your starter, and Alabama's falling into it. Coach Saban fell right into that same category. Regardless of what the score was, Melrose still, last year, of course, it wasn't Coach Saban, but before that, he'd keep his number one quarterback in until the last two or three minutes of a ball game, regardless of what the score was. And I think now that you've got to change that if you want to keep more than one quarterback on your roster, because they got so much opportunity to move. And how you do that, I think what we saw Saturday with the way he handled the rotation, that is one answer.
Yeah, I thought that was smart. I thought that was good. That was good.
It was good. I think that is the answer. And then let somebody emerge, because, look, even whoever's number one, occasionally they're going to have a bad day. I mean, you know, whatever, he's got some other outside problems he's got to deal with, either family or academics or whatever it might be. And then you better have number two and number three ready to play, regardless of who you're playing that Saturday.
Yeah, I think it's just harder. You know, if they had to leave and sit out, I don't think the kids don't want to do that. But now, right. It's not just Alabama, but when you got three guys like that, I mean, I don't blame the guy. I mean, the guy can sit there and be a backup till his junior or senior year, or he can go somewhere and play right away. I mean, I get it. So I think it's hard for the coaches. I think they did a good job. Who wins this Georgia-Tennessee game, Max? Georgia's 7-point favorite.
Well, Georgia's got more talent. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But the fact is, I think it's going to be one on the sideline this week. I really do. I mean, I think whichever coaching staff calls the best ball game, I think turnovers will play a big part. I think the quarterback situation at Tennessee evidently got settled right off the bat, and I think there was some concern from the Tennessee people that wouldn't happen. I think it's going to be a great football game. I really do. But I think that 7-point line is probably a pretty good line right now for Georgia.
Who wins? I'll ask you two more. Who wins Texas A&M at Notre Dame? Wow, that's a sneaky good game.
Well, I watched Texas A&M this past weekend also, and they got a pretty good football team, but it's the consistency. I mean, they play good for, you know, a quarter or so, and then they make a mistake and throw a pick or drop a ball somewhere that shouldn't be. Notre Dame's had 2 weeks to get ready for them, and they're playing, I believe they are playing at South Bend.
Yeah, they are. I'm going to take
Notre Dame in that ball game.
Yeah, Notre Dame, 6.5-point favorite. All right, don't laugh at me, Max. Who wins? Vanderbilt at South Carolina. Vanderbilt, I think they look good.
I'm telling you, but in my opinion, I watched some of the South Carolina game as well. Without their quarterback, they were nearly the football team they were last year. They lost a bunch of guys to the NFL. And I think they're going to struggle this year. A quarterback's going to keep them alive. But, you know, if you got a Rudy, or he's going to, you know, try to escape the pocket and run on his own, a bunch of times he's going to get hurt somewhere down the line with the schedule that they play. So, I hate to take Vanderbilt. I mean, I don't hate to take them because they've improved themselves, but I'm going to be interested just to watch if South Carolina can improve. Because all they were this past weekend, all they were about was about their quarterback.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's going to have to carry them. In this league, when you got one that's going to pull that ball down and start running, guys, you know they can't last very long. I mean, this league's too physical for that.
Yeah, the only thing for going for South Carolina. South Carolina's 5.5-point favorite. That game will kick at 7:45 at night in Columbia. Woo, that place will be wild. 7:45. If they're still able to stand up in Columbia. So.
I love all the cabooses out there. I mean, they'll be packed.
Ooh, yes.
People that never been to Columbia don't understand it. All of these things. They've got a train track behind the stadium.
Cockabooses. Cockabooses.
Yeah. Cockabooses is what they are, Ben.
Yeah.
You've been there, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, Max, it's fun. We look forward to breaking it down. I think the SEC looks strong. The committee, they're going to have a hard time if they leave a bunch of these teams out and trying to figure out which one's the best. They'll settle it on the field. That's the best thing about it. So
I think for the first time we're going to really see that when it comes down to these close calls about different teams getting in, they're going to have to evaluate the competition.
Yeah,
they've got to evaluate the wins. We've talked about that since day one. You can go out there and the reason I think I feel really good about that because I coached at both levels. I coached at Troy and I coached at Florida State. We were number one in the country. And I make the statement everywhere I talk that I can't tell you, even winning the national championship at Troy, we did in '68. And then going to Florida State, it's like daylight dark. I mean, it's everything in the program's different. The competition, the expectation, people that you're dealing with on a day-by-day basis, it's just different. And I think the committee has to realize that, and I think hopefully someday that they come to that realization and they get the best teams that play against the best competitions in the playoffs.
Yeah, SEC deserves a lot this year. Thank you, Max.
All right, thank you, guys, always.
All right, we'll take the break here. We'll get to the top of the hour. Doug Bell in the second hour. I got to peek at Doug's pick, see how he did, Chase. I think he did a little bit better this week, I think. We'll see who his picks are coming up this weekend. We don't think Yellowwood. They made the 7 o'clock hour possible. Always remember, guys, if it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it.
White lightning.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We've got a whole jumble up here in your prime time, and that's at the Lurline Wallace and McLennan intersection. You've got pretty heavy delays on Lurline Wallace northbound, taking you back to 27th Street, and on the southbound lanes of 69 onto McFarland, you've got a heavy backup there to Northwood Lake Drive. Northwood Lake Drive is also heavy.
Language, save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. Babbel.com.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles. Monsi Bolaños.
Josh Jacobs has extended the Packers' lead.
Second down. Here's the handoff. Jacobs cuts it back to the end zone. Yes. Touchdown!
Standing up!
Side of the line, Jacobs cut it back to the right. It's 23-6, Green Bay.
You just heard it all on the game. Packers Radio Network. They're on top of the lines, 24-6, halfway through the fourth quarter. The Rams are on top of the Texans at home, 14-9, early in the fourth. And with the final 3 minutes, the 49ers and Seahawks are tied at 10 apiece in Seattle. Still early in the fourth between the Titans and the Broncos, and Denver is up 13-12. In Major League Baseball, Cal Raleigh hit his 53rd home run of the season as the Mariners outscored the...
That's leafilter.com/country for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
It's 59 degrees in Tuscaloosa. A good supply of sunshine today with a warm afternoon, the high 84. Clear tonight, the low 64. The weather stays dry tomorrow and Wednesday. The sky's sunny both days. Highs in the mid to upper 80s between 85 and 88. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. We'll be right back.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium, if it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
If you're in Columbia, South Carolina this weekend with Vanderbilt coming in, you'll hear that a lot over prior to the game. All right, we want to thank Tuscaloosa Toyota. Go to TuscaloosaToyota.com. You can find the new inventory, that Toyota Tundra, man. 1.99% APR for the first 72 months. If you get to the website there, you look at all the new inventory, the pre-owned inventory, schedule service. You want to rent a Toyota, try it before you buy it. You can do it right there at the website. Or swing by Skyland Boulevard, find Justin. He'll set you right up and tell him that Wimp and Barry sent you. All right, get to the Tuscaloosa Toyota hotline and get Tom in. Good morning, Tom.
Barry, good morning. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Yeah, we're getting him back. I think he's back on now. How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing good. How about y'all?
We're good. Good.
You know, the last week and this week, I was thinking about things that Coach Saban said, and one thing that's important, I think, that he said was, you know, everybody's talking about team meetings and all that kind of stuff. He said he never did think that worked, and I agree with him. And but the main thing he said is, why is it that something bad has got to happen before players at the college level and beyond are inspired to do what's right or do their assignments or play with intensity or show up prepared, ready to play? And I agree with him on that. Why does something bad have to happen first? And like the Florida State thing. I mean, they had all summer to get ready for that and then go lay an egg like that. And then secondly, on the positive side of the game against ULM, you know, I was glad to see them sustain from first string all the way down through the backups the intensity they play with the entire game. I think that is one positive that they can bring out of that game.
Yeah, I agree with you on the bad. Why does something bad happen for me to and that's just how we are as humans. But the thing about Florida State that was so surprising to me, Tom, is normally that happens about game six, you're flat. Not game one. Game one is you haven't played football in 200 and something days. It doesn't matter who you run out there. Guys are normally ready to go. Hit somebody else, play. College football, but you know, the newness hadn't worn off at all. That was what was so surprising, because it was game one. Game six, five, okay, but one, that's,
yeah, I agree,
you don't see that much. You don't see that much.
No, you don't. And you know, they even had the audacity on Saturday in some of the interviews saying, well, you know, Florida State didn't do anything we wasn't expecting, and you know, it really wasn't a surprise, and this, that, and other. I thought, let me throw up. And anyway, hopefully they righted the ship, and they'll be competitive, you know, with some intensity the rest of the way.
Yeah, big stretch coming up. Wisconsin, then they get a week off. And then, man, it gets going for real when you go to Georgia. So
I tell you what, Georgia, you watch. I think, Tennessee is kind of a surprise to me, but you watch, Georgia will be intense for that game this coming Saturday.
Because they're building towards it. They played two cupcakes and just kind of did what they had to do. And then now they will be all lathered up going into Knoxville.
Oh, I believe that. I believe Coach Smart will have them ready to run through a wall, but so to speak. But anyway, I thought I'd offer those two observations on my part and see what y'all thought about. Hey, have you heard anything from any basketball news?
I haven't. Yeah, I'm trying to get over there and see those guys here sometime soon. Dad, real quick, about what Coach Saban said, why does something bad have to happen before you change your habit?
He does a great job of, that you understand. And I think that was just one of by him the other day on a podcast.
All right, we're having a hard time hearing him there. Tom, anything else before we let you go?
Oh, that's it. And enjoy the show.
Thank you, buddy. All right, this weekend, let's look real quick at what we got SEC-wise, and then we'll get to Doug. Oklahoma, probably the surprise team, maybe that Mateer. I heard you guys talking about him. He is he's good, and he's confident. The transfer from Washington State over to Oklahoma made all the difference in the world. They travel to where they're playing Temple. They're going to play that in Lincoln Financial Field there. But, wow, great crowd for Oklahoma. We talked about Wisconsin, Alabama. Auburn gets real after this weekend. They take on South Alabama, obviously at home. Auburn's a 25.5-point favorite. We've talked about Georgia, Tennessee, Louisiana. Lafayette will travel to Missouri. So that'll put Missouri probably at 3-0. 25.5-point favorite there. UTEP. UTEP's 1-1. They'll take on Texas. Texas will score more points than what they did this past weekend. But Manning had a good day there. He'll probably have another good day there. Mississippi State, Jays, they're going to go to 3-0. They got Alcorn State at home. So there you go for the Bulldogs. They'll be 3-0. Then their schedule will get real. Probably one of the most intriguing games over the weekend, especially in this part of the country. Arkansas travels to Ole Miss. Arkansas, 9.5-point favorite there. Florida, Florida. I hear what Max is saying, but why would you schedule South Florida and think that's a win? Florida will travel to LSU. That's a night game at LSU. LSU, 6.5-point favorite there. That's why you cannot lose that South Florida game when your schedule is as tough as that one is. Texas A&M will travel to Notre Dame. So that should be an interesting game there. Eastern Michigan will take on Kentucky. And then we've talked a little bit about Vanderbilt at South Carolina in Williams-Brice Stadium. That should be a doozy there at night. And that crowd in Columbia at night, as they say in Williams-Brice Stadium, Chase, about that upper deck, if it ain't swaying, we ain't playing. And so that place will be electric on Saturday night. So much better slate of football, I think, this weekend. So we can't wait for that to get here. I would take the break here and get to Doug Bell. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Rush to work delays on your Monday morning commute. Moving on Lurleen Wallace, you got a long line of brake lights here on the northbound lanes to McFarland. Doesn't look like anything unusual, but it is slow back to 22nd Street. And you've also got some pretty heavy delays in Northport on 69 traveling.
Even more for $7 or try something totally new for $9. Get yours at participating stores. Price and participation may vary. Limited time. Drinks exclude freezes. Tax extra.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance and is backed by an entire team of people you know and trust. Rent a Toyota and let's go places. Reserving yours is a breeze at TuscaloosaToyota.com.
Crimson Tide today, presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw.
Palm, Mississippi, online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center, online at DCHSystem.com.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by Guthrie's, home of the original chicken finger and a proud partner of the Alabama Crimson Tide. Visit us in-store or online at GuthriesChicken.com. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Huber. After Alabama's 73-0 win over ULM on Saturday, head coach Kalen DeBoer met with the media.
I thought the guys did a good job just moving with some purpose and everything that they did, you know, got to the stadium and just the movement. You know, I think it represented, you know, what they did this week. And you know, it's one game, and, you know, we got to continue to sustain the intensity and the focus. You know, I thought the guys did a good job playing from snap to whistle and doing it over and over again for 60 minutes. So, you know, that was the challenge to the guys, and, you know, that's what we got to build on. So, you know, I like that they really didn't feel like they looked at the scoreboard ever and just focused on being their best.
I'll have more in a moment.
This year we honor the most important anniversary ever, an event that reshaped civilization as we know it, a day that would lead to something so flawless that nothing could ever really compare. People have tried to match it, but have failed. This year, we celebrate the 60th anniversary of Guthrie's, the home of the original chicken finger.
Just talking about it gets me all choked up.
And hungry for a chicken finger. Guthrie's, an original obsession for 60 years.
Join us tonight for Crimson Tide Rewind from Baumhauer's Victory Grill in Vestavia Hills, starting at 6 p.m. Central. You can listen to Crimson Tide Rewind with Tyler Watts all across our radio network, the Varsity Network app, as well as a video replay available on our CTSN YouTube page at UA_CTSN. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by Guthrie's. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A good supply of sunshine today with a warm afternoon, the high 84. Clear tonight, the low 64. The weather stays dry tomorrow and Wednesday. The sky's sunny both days. Highs in the mid to upper 80s between 85 and 88. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 61 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. We want to get to the Yellowwood Hotline. He's with PGA Tour Radio, PGA Tour Live, CBS Sports Headquarters. Joins us every Monday. Doug, Dad's on the way to Montgomery for a funeral, so we let him go. I don't know if we'll get him back or not, but you and I can chop it up. Good morning, Doug. How are you?
Hey, Barry. Oh, I'm doing great. Lots going on in football and golf. Very big week in golf, by the way.
Well, tell us about golf. What's going on?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Usually the fall season on the PGA Tour, you know, anybody, you could care less because it's opposite football. But the Pro Tour Championship in Napa, at Silverado, Johnny Miller's golf course out there, the Keegan Bradley asked his Ryder Cup team to all go play. And all but two, DeChambeau can't play because he's not on the PGA Tour. Xander Schauffele couldn't make it. But the other 10 guys are in the field. Scottie Scheffler, Justin Thomas, all the big names, right? So that completely enhances that tournament, which is kind of a, you know, one of those tournaments that nobody cares about now. Everybody cares about it. And Barry, on the DP World Tour, Rory won yesterday the Irish Open. And that, again, all this football going on. But he rolls in a 70-footer on the 72nd hole for eagle and then goes on to win in the playoff. And in Ireland, where he's from, people went crazy. He's in the field this week at Wentworth in London, and all the European Ryder Cup guys are playing in that tournament. So this is a big deal because next week is an off week for golf, but then the last week in September is the Ryder Cup up at Bethpage in New York. So we're kind of gearing up for what is going to be a fantastic week Some people calling it very epic in professional golf. We shall see.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. That was one of my questions this morning. Does the team get together and practice together and play the format that they're going to play, when they get to Bethpage? How much do they get together? Is it you're saying they're just going to all be down there playing in the tournament this weekend, so give them a chance to spend some time together? But will they get together and look at pairings and practice it all together, Doug?
Yeah, they will. And see, that's 2 years ago when Zach Johnson had the team and they lost in Rome. Zach was trying to get everybody together 2 weeks over in Europe, and everybody had an excuse. You know, a couple of guys made it. Everybody else had an excuse, and, of course, they didn't play particularly well. So Keegan really, he emphasized, guys, I need you to play in this Pro Core Championship. And even though, you know, a guy like Scotty Scheffler, normally he doesn't play any events in the fall. But Scheffler was the first to commit. So when the number one player in the world says, I'm going to do it, everybody else followed. Again, Xander Schauffele had something was going on in his family. He couldn't play. And DeChambeau is not a member of the PGA Tour, so he's not allowed to play. But, you know, it's interesting, Barry. We mentioned the tournament in Europe. All the guys on LIV, John Rahm and these guys, Tyrrell Hatton, they can play in the DP World Tour. The European Tour allows them to play. So they're all playing this week. And so both teams will be kind of experimenting, you know, camaraderie, that sort of thing. And Barry, it is, you know, not to get too technical, but for example, alternate shot, you know, DeChambeau uses a golf ball because he hits it so far, and he doesn't, and it's a golf ball that it sends it lower, a lower trajectory golf ball. So he's a hard guy to play with because nobody else plays that golf ball. So he may not play an alternate shot, but I don't know. That's kind of the technicality in golf. And you know, some people, it kind of goes over their head. But to answer your question, yeah, they're trying to come up with the pairings and that sort of thing. And it's a big deal, Barry, because the last time a team won on, for example, the Europeans won 2012 at Medina in Chicago. That's the last time a team came over and won on, what is it, opposing land or whatever it is. So we'll see what happens. I just think, and you and I and your dad have talked about it, I think it's going to be very difficult for the European team to win in New York City. I just think those crowds are going to be just nuts.
Well, you and dad say that. I'm worried. I think it's going to be hard for the Americans to win. So anything going on with Tiger and behind the scenes and this merger between LIV and the PGA, is that just dead, Doug?
Well, I think it's dead. Not necessarily dead, but LIV has already announced that they're moving forward. They do not want to close up shop. And I thought it was interesting, and we mentioned this, President Trump got his tournament back at Trump Doral down in Miami starting next year. And there's no sponsor for that yet, Barry, which is interesting. It's just called the Miami Golf Championship, which is unusual in itself, but it just goes to show you the president wanted his tournament back. He got it, and he obviously would like LIV and the PGA Tour to kind of settle their differences. And I think I do think Brian Roelof, who's the new CEO of the PGA Tour, he intimated that in Atlanta at the Tour Championship, that he has plans for the future that'll change some things, and he wouldn't divulge what those plans were. But I think some of it, I think he's going to try to come up with a plan where the best players on LIV will play against the best players on the PGA Tour, maybe two or three times during the season, because he feels that's what the fans want to see.
How tough is that Ryder Cup ticket, Doug?
Oh, impossible.
Really?
Impossible. Yeah, I mean, it's, and you know, you have to be a pretty rich person. I mean, it's, from what I understand, it's $1,500 a day for a ticket to go watch these guys play. It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday deal. It's completely sold out. And the corporate boxes, you know, $1,500 is just an individual ticket if you're just walking around the grounds. But if you're in the corporate boxes, I mean, it's, you know, it's like the Super Bowl. It's all about corporate sales and that sort of thing. And the PGA of America is going to make more money on this Ryder Cup. And listen, every other year they break the record, but this one will that will set the standard about how much money this Ryder Cup can make. And again, Barry, it goes back to, you know, Cantlay and Xander Schauffele 2 years ago. You know, they put their heels in the ground. They thought that the players should be paid. It's great that I'm representing my country, but if the PGA of America is making millions and millions and millions of dollars, then the players should benefit. And so the players do get paid, and in essence, they get paid something, and they're supposed to donate it to a charity of their
You say get paid, like what?
Well, I think they all get paid probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $500,000 to play on the Ryder Cup team.
And so they just give it to charity, though?
Yeah, they give it to charity. So, and again, these men are very, very wealthy, obviously. They're professional athletes, professional golfers. And these elite guys, as we talked about on this show for years, they generational wealth for these guys. They're making more money now than any professional golfer in history. That rankled a lot of people when Cantlay and Xander, who are good friends, by the way, kind of stood out and said, listen, it's great playing for your country. I'm all about the red, white, and blue. But at the same time, why are we not getting paid when everybody else is benefiting? So it's an argument that, you can stand on either side of the argument and have a pretty good case on both sides.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, Chase, get your button ready. Doug's yep. Fabulous picks, what he picked last week. He was 2-4. Dad lost his blue plate. That's why he can't stay on the show today. Doug, he took Virginia Tech, and that did not. That started out fine. I thought he had a chance, and then, that got bad fast. But Doug did not pick that game, Chase.
Nope.
Doug was 2-4 heading in, but he's Illinois versus Duke. He was believing in Brett Bielema. He said, take Illinois minus -2.5 versus Duke. No problem. Victory for Doug Bell. Ring it up.
Yeah.
Yes.
They look good, too, Barry.
They do. I think Brett Bielema is a good coach.
Yeah, I do, too. He just kind of ran into a buzzsaw at Arkansas.
Yeah.
He lost some close games. Remember, he lost some close games at Alabama.
Yeah.
You win a few of those, he's still at Arkansas. But, yeah, no, he's a good coach.
All right, Chase, Ole Miss. The Rebs went to Kentucky. That line, when Doug picked it, was 10.5. I think it ended up going down during the week. Chase, Ole Miss won 30-23. But my calculation, 30 minus 23 is 7. So 10.5 is not good. That would be a loss. No.
Yeah. The quarterback who's talented, threw some careless interceptions there for Ole Miss that could have covered the spread. And at the end, Barry, they were in scoring position and just kind of sat on it. Not that I was rooting for him.
Not at all. And then the last game took some guts right here. Oklahoma was favored against Michigan, the almighty Michigan. The line was 2.5. I'm trying to find Michigan. Loses 24-13, so that would be a victory for Doug Bell.
Yes. And the quarterback for Oklahoma
is good.
Is the real deal. He's very good.
He is. Yeah.
I like him a lot.
So that runs that record, Doug. You're getting close, baby. 4-5.
Yep.
Over the season. So good picks this week, and we're in the money. We're in the money. So I think it's a good slate this weekend, much better than last weekend. And I can't wait. I can't wait to hear your research and see where you're going. Tell us where you're going this week.
Well, and this, again, I know you guys hate the big spreads, but number 4, Oregon. First Big Ten game, 27.5-point favorite at Northwestern. And Oregon blew out Montana State, blew out Oklahoma State. Northwestern's 1-1, lost to Tulane. They beat Western Illinois. The Wildcats were 4-8 last year, 2-7, and they're really one of the bottom dwellers in the Big Ten. Their transfer quarterback, by the way, this kid who was a backup at SMU, Preston Stone, in that game against Tulane, Barry, he threw 4 interceptions and he was sacked 3 times. Mm. So he's struggling. To me, this is just an Oregon. They like to blow people out and make a statement, and this won't even be remotely close. Oregon covers easily that 27.5 against Northwestern.
All right, take Oregon minus 27.5 against Northwestern. Oregon was not kind to Oklahoma State over the weekend.
Oh, my goodness. I felt bad for Coach Gundy, and I know he had some things to say leading up to the game about NIL and things of that nature. Oh, my goodness. Oregon showed no mercy in that one. I felt bad.
Yeah, Dan Lanning didn't want to hear all that. He sent a message. So there we go. All right, what's the second game, Doug?
Well, I'm looking forward to this one. Georgia, a 5.5-point favorite. That's what I had it at Tennessee. You know, the Vols, and game day will be there.
Whoa. Time out. What did you have the line?
At 5.5, what'd you have?
Doug, I don't know if this is going to sway you. I had it here a minute. Line seven.
Oh, that's fine. No problem.
All right, good.
You know, and the Vols have lost 8 games in a row to Georgia. Think about that. And Kirby, by the way, is 4-0 in Knoxville with every win by more than 20 points. I mean, it's crazy how they've dominated Tennessee. I think Tennessee has found their quarterback. Remember they had the quarterback shuffle there? And then Joey Aguilar seems like a pretty good quarterback. And they haven't played anybody. But I think Tennessee has done a nice job over the last few years building up a nice roster. And I'm not so sure this is the Georgia team from – we're talking about all those wins, right? This is the same kind of Georgia team. Take Tennessee.
Oh, well, then, I mean, if you liked 5.5, you love 7. I'm doing you a favor.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you're making my day there. Making my day.
I like it. So he's got Tennessee. He's getting 7 at home. Rocky Top. Yeah. Will Morgan Wallen be there?
Well, I hope so. Yeah. Will he be the guest picker?
Maybe. Probably.
I mean, they've kind of worn out Peyton Manning. Peyton's overexposed. He's everywhere.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, I hope Morgan Wallen. And Coach Saban, by the way, the more you watch game day, and I know we said goodbye to Coach Corso, but if you listen to Coach Saban, some of the things that he said, and I thought when he made the point that the Big Ten now has an advantage over the Southeastern Conference because they have more money in the NIL, Coach, he's very perceptive, so I thought that was very, very interesting.
Say that again. I didn't catch what you said. Say it again.
He said the Big Ten now has an advantage over the Southeastern Conference because of NIL. They have more money. The top schools have more money than the Southeastern Conference schools.
Do you believe that?
Well, I mean,
I know Ohio State does in Oregon, but
Oregon, I think Michigan. I just thought when he said that, I had not ever thought about that. But then when, you know, and he brought up the point, you know, some of the schools in the Southeastern Conference, you know, the Mississippi schools, you know, this or that, South Carolina, you know, they're limited just because of the boosters that are in the particular states in the Southeastern Conference. So to me, that was a very telling statement. Coach Saban always comes up with something now.
All right, so right now we got Oregon minus 27.5. Yep. Tennessee plus 7, yep. Chase. Plus, I don't remember him taking a favorite, I mean, an underdog like that. Dad's never taken an underdog, never.
I like that one a lot.
All right.
All right, and finally, Barry, Vanderbilt at South Carolina.
I can't wait to hear this one.
Well, what is it, 5.5?
Yeah.
5.5. Now, the Gamecocks have been favored in their last nine years against Vanderbilt, which is amazing when you think about that, right? Last time Vandy won in Columbia, 2006.
I was at South Carolina then. Yeah, I was at the game.
Yeah. And Clark Lee, of course, has never beaten South Carolina. Both teams have beaten Virginia Tech, as you mentioned earlier about your dad. In the Vander game, they came back and looked pretty good, right? I just think South Carolina at home in this kind of environment, and I think they've kind of been saving up. They know how important this game is. I like South Carolina at home to cover that 5.5. I think it'll be a competitive game, but I think in the end, South Carolina covers that 5.5. And it looks to me like very well could be 3-0 this week.
Yeah, that's a night game in Columbia as well. So that place is in a frenzy at night. So at 7:45, they may be all too drunk to go to the game. But they're going to have a party in Columbia. If you want to have a good time, Chase, go to Columbia, South Carolina on Friday night. And hey, all right, so we'll take the Gamecocks minus 5.5. It's early. Two games into it. Is this the deepest SEC we've ever seen, Doug?
I think so. I really do. And that Mississippi State win late Saturday night was terribly exciting. My goodness, that pass that kid got open and, what was it, a 70-yarder there?
Yeah, they're in a little flossing route and fused them. Yeah.
They're still cheering in Stark Vegas. I mean, that was when I saw that, I was like, oh, my, that's Southeastern Conference football at its very best, right, when Mississippi State goes crazy like that. And they haven't had a lot to cheer about the last few years. But, yeah, to answer your question, I do believe it. And I think Florida, as bad as they were the other day against South Florida, and it was abysmal, 11 penalties, and it was just awful. Red zone offense was terrible. I do think that, you know, the Gators are getting 9.5 at LSU. I wouldn't just assume LSU is going to blow out Florida. That was a bad game for Florida. There's no doubt about it. But the Gators have some talent. They really do. I just, unfortunately, the coach now has put himself in a very, very tough situation moving forward.
Yeah.
He survived last year. I just don't think Billy's going to survive this year.
But I don't know why in the world would he be playing South Florida. That's a dumb schedule, in my opinion. Why would Florida play South Florida? That's a no-win situation, Doug.
Well, and that was the other thing on game day. Coach Saban said, hey, South Florida's got some, as he said, some dogs on defense. And again, he was right on. They made it very difficult for Florida, although Florida could have scored at least 3 touchdowns that got called back for penalties. 11 penalties, Barry. That is just crazy. You got to be more disciplined than that. And so we'll see what happens. You know, as crazy as the season is, though, wouldn't shock me to see Florida go to Baton Rouge and win. You know, as crazy as these things go. But we'll see what happens. But, yeah, the conference is great. It is going to be and I want to see how Alabama does against – I don't want to say a great Wisconsin team, but they're an improved Wisconsin team. We'll see. I mean, they're not going to lose that game, but I want to see how they because Louisiana Monroe was just – I mean, that was a
miracle. They were awful.
They were bad. I didn't realize that La Monroe had not had a winning season in about 12 years.
You know, I think – and I know Troy went and played Clemson really well, and I don't know where Troy lands as far as mid-major, low-major, whatever, but I think like the Monroes, those lower teams like that, now with the portal and all that, I think they're worse. These games are complete blowouts now. There is no parity in college football anymore. There's such a gap between the SEC and that group there. It is what it is. Maybe that's what they wanted to get the power conscious.
Yeah, I know it'll be fun. And I do think, again, what Coach Saban said about the Big Ten and the SEC, and, of course, the Big Ten has the last two national championship teams. I just – we got to watch that very, very close, you know, how the SEC moves forward. Because we talked about maybe Georgia's not the same Georgia. That'll be an interesting game against Tennessee. And I don't know. I just – when Coach Saban talks about that, my ears perk up.
Yeah.
Because, he knows what's going on. And that NIL thing is Coach Gundy was right. Oregon has unlimited funds in the NIL, more so than any other school. And Texas Tech, by the way, their rich billionaire oil magnate, you know, they're up to $25 to $30 million in the NIL.
Yeah.
So it'll be and Texas Tech, it looks like they're headed for a really good season too. So.
No doubt.
It's interesting. It's fun.
Should be fun. All right, Doug. Anything with Casa de Campo, or what are we pushing now?
Well, no, it's Casa de Campo, Barry. And I was actually reading Golf Post this morning, and they had a nice 5-page spread on Casa de Campo because they're reopening Teeth of the Dog in December. That's the PDOT course that Jerry Pate is redesigning. And it's awesome, Barry. Seven holes right there on the ocean. And I suggest that to everybody. Go to CasaDeCampo.com and plan a big golf trip. And they'll, believe me, they'll roll out the red carpet. It is an awesome golf experience in the Caribbean.
Thank you, Doug.
Talk to you next week, Barry. See you. Yeah.
All right. Bryant Bank, if you're looking for that traditional banking experience with a banker who calls you by your name, they'll invite you to get to know our great friends over at Bryant Bank. With four locations in the Northport, Tuscaloosa area, you can experience unbeatable service and legendary results right here close to home. When Dad was moving to Tuscaloosa, I talked to the guys at Bryant Bank, said, hey, look, he needs to do something special with his loan there. They found the best solution for him and helped us get all that taken care of. So Bryant Bank was very, very, very professional during that smooth transition there. So we appreciate those guys. So swing by there today and tell them that Wimp and Barry sent you. All right, I know Dad's gone, but Chase, when we come back, we're still going to do the vinegar tip brought to you by Michael McGuire and State Farm Insurance. I got a great story to tell you from Michael McGuire about apple cider vinegar and what it's doing for someone that he found out this weekend. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We are moving with a purpose on the Tuscaloosa freeways and side streets. As a matter of fact, things have started to kind of calm down inside your rush to work. Looking at McFarland from Watermelon to 43, that's pretty much moving at posted speed. And only stoplight delays on 15th Street for the most part from McFarland to Lurline Wallace. No worries on 2059. You do have active road construction right around Joe Malisham, but that's daily. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Tammy Thomas.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance in his...
That's leafilter.com/country for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Roll Tide. The best sports talk, period. Your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
I feel good. I knew that I would not.
Inside Locker. This is 1 month today. It's the anniversary. 1 month anniversary. Michael McGuire has been sponsoring this vinegar tip of the day. If you're looking for insurance, Michael McGuire is your man. Since Michael's taken over this ad, he got me, he got my my dad, he got my brother, he got my son, he got just about, I mean, they started saying, hey, Michael, could you send us a quote? And then, boom, he's nailing it. So he's taking care of people, and we appreciate that. Let him take care of you, 205-752-8500. All right, Chase, I want you to hear this. I'm going to tell you a tip that Michael learned over the weekend. Michael's dad, I don't know if Michael wanted me telling you this, but I will. He was playing golf over the weekend over in Mississippi. I believe Old Waverly's in Mississippi, right? He was playing with Brian Harden from Brian Harden Construction. And we'll talk about Brian here in just a little bit. For all your construction needs, Brian Harden is your guy. And they got to talking about the vinegar tip. And one of the guys in the group said, oh, yeah, my mom drinks vinegar and honey every single day, Chase. She takes honey and vinegar every single day. Chase, would you like to guess how old this young lady is?
That is a very, very good question.
It's his mother-in-law. It's a guy playing with his mother-in-law. Vinegar and honey every day. You want to guess?
Would that be in her 30s, 40s?
She, Chase, is 103.
Wow. Wow, wow.
103. She is still alive and kicking where they're threatening to start hiding her vinegar from her. So 103 and taking vinegar and honey every day. God bless her for that. So I thought that, and he went on to tell me that's a true story. I don't think you would make that up. So there's your vinegar tip of the day. Take a little honey and vinegar, and you can live to be 103. Or you can increase your, or you can live longer. 103? Chase, do you, have you ever heard of anybody living to be 103?
I didn't even know that was possible.
Yeah, so they were talking about that right there. So if you want to feel good, then call Michael McGuire because he made me feel good with that story. 205-752-8500. All right, we'll take the break here. We get back. When we get back, we'll talk to my main man, Cowboy. Find out what Cowboy's thinking. Cowboy, he wasn't buying Alabama. We'll see what he thinks after this 73-0 game against Louisiana Monroe. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM, WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
On The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Monday edition of The Game, we'll do the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good is sponsored by DanielMoreArt.com. We'll talk to Martin Houston. We'll talk to Drew DeArmond. And we'll take your phone calls starting at 2 p.m. on the Monday edition of The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest-running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We are moving with a purpose on the Tuscaloosa freeways and side streets. As a matter of fact, things have started to kind of calm down inside your rush to work. Looking at McFarland from Watermelon to 43, that's pretty much moving at post to speed, and only stoplight delays on 15th Street for the most part from McFarland to...
It's steak night every night of the week. Choose yours today at participating stores for a limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Tax extra.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assist.
eBay has all the parts you need at prices you'll love, guaranteed to fit every time. eBay, things people love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A good supply of sunshine today with a warm afternoon, the high 84. Clear tonight, the low 64. The weather stays dry tomorrow and Wednesday. The sky's sunny both days. Highs in the mid to upper 80s between 85 and 88. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 65 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Two-time state champion and two-time NIT champion, Barry Sanderson breaks down the latest in sports on Inside the Locker Room on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back to it. Wow. Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. We'll thank Brian Harden. Brian. I hope he didn't bet Wimp's Blue Plate, but he does sponsor the Blue Plate special. That Blue Plate, broken plate. When you need strength, precision, and reliability, trust the team has been building Tuscaloosa and beyond for over 30 years. Brian Harden Construction is your industrial fabrication, steelwork, and heavy equipment services, from custom welding and structural steel, 24/7 crane rentals. No job is too big or too tough. Family owned, woman led. Brian Harden Construction, 205-759-1337. We appreciate Brian being a sponsor on Inside the Locker Room. You can do the same. So email us at wimpandberry@yahoo.com. We can set you right up. All right. Good morning, Cowboy. How are you, sir?
Hey, Barry. How are you?
I'm good, buddy.
That's good. Well, over the weekend, I was reading some information, and I thought it'd be good to talk about it's NIL opportunities. And a lot of these universities now are changing their shoe and jersey apparel.
Yes. See, Alabama... Greg Byrne signed a new deal. Yeah, and didn't tell anybody about it. So it's, go ahead. I'll hear you.
Well, let me finish what I'm gonna say.
Okay.
Penn State just signed a new deal last week. South Carolina's leaving Under Armour and going to Nike. But Penn State signed a deal with Adidas.
And Tennessee went to Adidas.
For next year, I believe, too. Or maybe they're wearing them this year. I haven't paid a lot of attention to the Tennessee game yet to really see the uniforms where I could pick it up. But what Penn State has done is they're using some of their professional athletes in the NIL program to use them to model Penn State uniforms and different Penn State stuff with their athletes that will be wearing Adidas, merchandise, cleats and jerseys and all that. So Alabama, we don't have anybody in our program that is, from what I don't know our contract. You know, I wasn't privy to it. I guess Greg Byrne kept it in his drawer, and however he says that he does things, so he kept it all secretive, I guess. But Penn State is going to use their athletes that are being the NIL,
to model their uniforms, and then they'll get money back for their NIL program, and then they'll get brand merchandise, notoriety by those guys wearing the stuff. In Alabama, just an example for Adidas, Tua Tagovailoa has a contract with Adidas. So he, if Alabama was an Adidas school, he could be doing that. So now all the Penn State guys going to the NFL, they're going to get hooked up with Adidas.
Yeah. Well, we'll let you go, Cowboy. Yeah.
Money back that away.
Well, I know Ryan Williams signed. He's a Nike guy. He signed a Nike contract. But I think where it helps, and then we got to get out and get Gary in. But like for Tennessee. Their money for baseball, probably what they're giving out of 20.5 million is probably very little, but they can use this Adidas contract to pay guys NIL money there to help them get the recruits. I think it's going to help more in those sports as well to try to make up for what they're missing with the other money. Call us back tomorrow, Cowboy. All right, we got to get out of here. That's it for today's show. Sorry, Dad had to go to a funeral, so he tried to do both. It didn't work, but tomorrow he'll be back in place, and we'll get that all taken care of. We'll pick on him a little bit, Chase, about that blue plate special. That's it for today's show. Keep it locked in. The Gary Harris Show is next. You listen to Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports. Have a great day, everybody. Chase.
Thank you for listening to Inside the Lock.